This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let us start with a verse of the Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.
صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. These verses that I've just recited now, verse 90 of the 16th juz, the 16th chapter of the Quran is Surah An-Nahl, verse 90. This is something that you may have heard every Friday. This is what the Khatib says. We say this every week. That Inna Allah ya'mur bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. We generally end the khutbah with that. It's a very prominent verse of the khutbah. Essentially what it means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah enjoins justice, performing duties for only Allah's sake. Allah enjoins justice, performing duties for only Allah's sake, giving help to kith and kin, forbidding evil, obscenity and oppression. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enjoining justice, performing duties for only Allah's sake, that's how they've translated ihsan here, or doing things in an excellent way, you know, for the right reason. Ihsan, essentially doing good. And then giving help to kith and kin, and then forbidding evil and obscenity and oppression. He admonishes you so that you may take heed. So as you can see from this, that there are some of the most important points that are mentioned here, and maybe that's the reason why it's been incorporated into the khutbah every week, right, that we're reminded of this. So again, majority of us who don't understand Arabic would probably have heard this verse over and over again every week and never figured out why that's always mentioned. You know, what's the reason for that one being mentioned each week? Why has that one particularly been chosen? And what we should do actually is that we should be a bit more curious and interested than that. If there's something in our khutbah or something in salat that is being recited often and mentioned often, then if we don't understand it, we should actually go and try to find out, because clearly there's a message in there for us since it's been repeated so many times. Essentially, why this verse is mentioned. So here, this is in these reflection series, I'm trying to find these kind of verses that speak of some really universal ideas within Islam, universal principles and precepts in Islam, as you may have noticed already, rather than individual stories. So in our reflections, we've not been dealing with stories of prophets in detail or anything like that, because mashallah, they're generally covered. We're discussing some very, very fundamental precepts of the religion. So here, what this is that this verse of Surah An-Nahl is actually a comprehensive code of conduct, and it has a number of different injunctions and directions in there. Now, the first one obviously is justice, right? Bil adl. Adl is justice. So let's take these one by one. The first one is justice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just says, Inna Allah ya'muru bil adl. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands and enjoins justice. He says this in an absolute way, not qualifying it with any particular type of justice or any particular type of situation or from a particular individual. He's just saying you need to have justice. You need to deal with justice. Now, the second one then is talking about the spending. Then you've got ihsan. Bil adli wal ihsan, which is doing good. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about assisting, giving the kith and kin, giving basically your relatives. When it comes to the kith and kin, there's other places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that you should start with your closest kin, your closest relatives. The hadith mentions that as well, that you should start from your closest relatives, because they need you most, and they are most entitled to what we can offer them. Reason is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you've heard in through other verses and the reflections there, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us into specific families and tribes and groups. And we're supposed to help one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided there to be a direction between us, an agreement between us. I mean, your father, your mother, your relatives, and the closest ones have more on us than others. I mean, we would be more sinful for neglecting them than to neglect a stranger, for example. So we learn that you must start from them first. And when it comes to, so if we go back to the whole justice idea, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps it open, right? The last point in here is, so إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. And Allah prohibits from two things. Allah prohibits from fahsha, which is obscene and immoral and evil ideas, right? And munkar just means basically anything wrong, anything that is indecent, pretty much anything which is indecent, that any reasonable person anywhere in the world would say that this is wrong, right? That is munkar, something that is looked on and is disfigured. It is not recognizable as something of decency. That's what a munkar is. I mean, if you take it in a religious sense, then a munkar is obviously anything which is prohibited in the Sharia. But anything that is considered to be indecent throughout decent communities is probably going to be considered to be indecent in the Sharia as well. Because that is, the Sharia is very natural, right? So anything which is indecent is going to be indecent in the Sharia as well. Now when it comes to, if we go back to the first point, which is justice, right? After we've understood the verse in a brief sense, these are some of the issues when it comes to justice when we're trying to deal with in our lives. Many times, many of us, we're only focused on justice when it concerns us. If we're being dealt with in an unjust way, if we are somehow being oppressed or somehow being dealt the wrong amount, then it's okay when the justice concerns us. Or if you go on a larger level, that if it concerns our family, then we're interested. If it's to do with our religion, then we're interested. If it's to do with our tribe, then we're interested. Otherwise, we're not interested. It doesn't matter if there's other injustice that is happening elsewhere in the world. But that's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where He fixed assisting your family first, He did not talk about justice as doing that to your family first and nobody else. Right? So that's why the justice command here is much more general, that we need to be just in every sense. So if it involves a stranger, somebody we don't know from another religion or whatever, then we just don't care a lot of the time. Many of the times our justice, and we've seen this through the fatwas that we receive, you know, through the questions that we have, when people are asking for their rights and where there's an injustice that has taken place, it's always about myself. It's always about the person. You know, you hardly ever get a question that, look, I've had this issue with somebody else. I'm worried that I may be oppressing them. So can you please let me know that I'm not oppressing them? Right? It's generally that they've done this to me and they're oppressing me, and you know, I want to just make sure that that's the case, or that I want to get my rights, or I want to prove the point. So this is the kind of imbalance here, and that's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good justice to prevail in this world, because that then contributes to a much better world. A lot of the time, I mean, we're not interested in justice if we don't get any kind of material benefit from it. Sometimes we don't want to do justice because we fear criticism, right? So that's why we will avoid justice. This is a major problem in many, many organizations, many kind of ruling parties and so on, right? We don't want to do justice sometimes, or we don't want to speak justly because it's going to ruin our reputation. It's going to put us on the wrong side of people. It's not with the right group. We may lose out on some incentives, some material gains. These are all different reasons why we may not want to do justice. It's just, again, these reflections are there for us to reflect and to think, where am I in this? You know, we can't change the whole world, but we can definitely try to change ourselves, especially when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us this. That's why it's very, you could say that it's very difficult to do justice purely for the sake of doing justice, purely as a command of God, right? It's okay, as I said, to do it for oneself when we're going to get benefit from it, but not when it's just purely for the sake of justice. So, sometimes, you know, we may understand some truths, but it's difficult for us to act on that truth because there's just so many factors, or there's a certain factor that is going to prevent us from doing that. And the only person that's going to do proper justice are the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthened with a strong sense of justice and a boldness and an ability to see it through regardless of what happens, even if it goes against their own. That's the person who's going to be able to do justice. As I said, we may not be able to change the whole world, but we can definitely do a, you know, make a better effort at it, right? Through these verses. Now, the reason why we must do this is because the whole of the creation, generally justice is to do with creation, but it could also go to, you know, to do with animals or the environment, natural resources and so on, right? Is because everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the whole of creation are the bondsmen of Allah. They're the family of Allah, you could say. Allah is looking after them. Allah is responsible for them. And Allah wants us to look after one another, purely for that sake. So that's why you can understand that we're all members of the same family. So that's why if there's any injustice somewhere else, it's going to affect us as well, because we're members of that same family of humanity. That's why you have to understand that. Now, look at this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very strong on tawheed and monotheism. The Quranic message is filled with monotheism, right? Surah Al-Ikhlas. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad is essentially considered to be one third of the Quran, and Surah Al-Ikhlas is monotheism. It's tawheed. That's what it's there for. That's what it's it is highlighting. Despite that fact, that one third of the Quran, you can say, is devoted to the doctrine of monotheism, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so sensitive where that monotheism may be contravened or violated, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like shirk, right, for sure. Despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you must be just to everybody. It doesn't matter if they're polytheist or whatever. It everybody. In this particular command, justice needs to prevail everywhere. Because Islam regards all human beings, regardless of their faith, their country, their origin, race, color, as members of Allah's family. He sustains every one of them. You have to remember that. Even those who blaspheme against Allah, who deny God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sustains everyone, right? Allah's favorite servant is not necessarily the one who just worships Him through salat, etc., but who also loves Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the one who does good to his family members. Right? So that's an important part of our Islam, is to do well for other human beings. Now, it could have been so easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran to have said that it's just Muslims who are members of one family. Right? It could have been perfectly understandable, because they're the ones who are fulfilling what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Right? That only Muslims are members of the same family. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps this general and designates all human beings, right, without any distinction of faith. That's why you see some of the hadith about it as well. They're just general, right? They're just general. They're not just about Muslims. The other thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't just designated certain individuals to dispense the justice. Of course, judges have to dispense justice, and you know, rulers have to dispense justice, and so on. But this is actually an obligation that is incumbent on anybody, that we, everybody, that we must be just in every one of our situations, right? It doesn't matter whether it may be a Christian doing justice or a Muslim dispensing the justice. If there's a Christian who is doing a just, if there's an atheist who is dispensing some kind of justice, then we must support that justice for the sake of that justice. Of course, if there's any other issues involved, that's a different issue. Allah commands that justice and good be done. That's what we understand from this. And as I said, it's not just to be done by Muslims, but it's to be done by everything. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sustainer. We say this often. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises to Allah, who the Rabb, the sustainer of all the worlds, meaning everything included in that worlds. Not Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Muslimin, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Mu'mineen. That's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. People with Iman, mashallah, have their value, right? A very special value in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sight. They're beloved to Allah. But the whole of humanity is whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks after. He created them and He's the cherisher of everyone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made all of the general amenities like the sun and the moon, the solar system, the trees, the mountains, the rivers, the animals, and everything that is on the earth available to everybody. That is to everyone, right? To believers and non-believers. And His justice needs to be equally beneficial to everyone, right? Now you have to remember, without justice, remember this, without justice you cannot have balance in this world. Because balance is important of this world. For the world to sustain itself, balance is important. And that is through justice. They say that civilizations can survive sometimes even without faith, but with justice longer than those that don't have justice, don't have a balance, and have faith. So there could be some faithful people who profess to believe in God, believe in Allah, but don't dispense justice. They will not last as long as those who have justice. Justice provides stability. Why is it that so many people enjoy coming to a certain, Western countries? Because I guess there is a greater sense of justice than many other countries, right? That's one of the reasons. And justice is so innately a human desire and a human need, a human essential, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has really, really spoken about this in this way. You can tell that this is basically a note of universalism, right? This is a message of universalism in the Quran, in this Quranic assertion, right? That justice is good and it should be done in an absolute sense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs Muslims, right? For example, the verse is, I'll just read the verse to you. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kunu qawwamina lillahi shuhada'a bilqist, wa la yajrimannakum shana'anu qawmin, ala alla ta'dilu, i'dilu huwa aqrabu littaqwa, wattaqullah, inna allaha khabirun bima ta'malun. O believers, stand firm for Allah and bear true testimony. Be truthful in your testimony. Do not let the hatred of a people lead you to injustice. Just because you hate somebody, for whatever reason, valid or invalid, it can't lead you to injustice. Be just, and that is closer to righteousness. And be mindful of Allah. Surely Allah is all aware of what you do. So now I think that really underscores what it's to be. And the other thing that we have to remember is that justice needs to be freely available to everyone, no matter which faith, which country, which ethnicity a people are. Justice needs to be available to everybody, right? And that is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So justice needs to become the hallmark of every Muslim. Wherever we are in our individual capacities, in our individual circumstances, whether that be to do with our neighbor in terms of some maybe boundary disputes, in terms of who threw what, or who has to clean what, or who has to fix what. And all of these ideas, who owns what. I mean, subhanAllah, today brothers and sisters are arguing, parents and children are arguing over inheritance in terms of property, who owns what. I mean, it's just absolute oppression, no justice whatsoever. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us justice, make us a just nation, contribute to a just world, and fulfill the command of the Quran, this universal command of the Quran for justice. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah bless you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our Ramadans and our Iman and our life and grant us prosperity. Please keep us in your du'as. Make a du'a for us right now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously. to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to leave, to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.